To President Trump has arrived in Hamburg, Germany for the G20 summit, which gets underway tomorrow. But today, protests are beginning, and there are concerns among authorities that they could get ugly. Anti-capitalist militants planning what they call welcome to hell demonstrations. As the world leaders gather for their summit, up to 100,000 demonstrators are expected over the two-day meeting. New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie's visit to a closed beach during the state's government shutdown earlier this week has now drawn an ethics complaint.
NJ.com reports Christie is accused of using his position unethically when he and his family enjoyed the July 4th holiday at Island Beach State Park on Sunday while the public was turned away because of the state shutdown. The complaint filed by West New York attorney Mario Blanch stated, "The governor and his family hold no special privileges over residents and citizens." There's been no comment from the governor's office.
That's Mark Mayfield. This is USA Radio News.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, three for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, three bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scott's Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
A Louisiana congressman apologizes for making a video inside the Auschwitz gas chamber. Republican Clay Higgins releasing a statement late yesterday offering his, quote, sincere apology for any unintended pain that was caused by the posting of the video. Higgins said his intent was to pay homage to the victims and to remind the world that evil exists. However, Jewish groups condemned Higgins' five-minute video, which he filmed last week during his visit to the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial and Museum in Poland. No major damage or injury, but a pretty strong earthquake shaking the state of Montana early this morning, a 5.8 magnitude quake striking about 6 miles southeast of Lincoln in terms of its epicenter. A long-forgotten photograph stirring the mystery around the fate of Amelia Earhart. Here's Mark Mayfield.
A former FBI official says a recently discovered photograph found in the National Archives seems to support the theory that the famed aviator and her navigator Fred Noonan may have been captured by the Japanese. The photo shows two blurry images on a dock in the Marshall Islands in 1937, just days after Earhart is believed to have crashed at sea. It also shows a Japanese ship towing a barge with an object that appears to be the same length as Earhart's plane. Most experts still think that she died in a crash while attempting to set a record by flying around the world.
No mystery here. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how Governor Christie could have been a zero this weekend, but chose to be a zero. And I'll be discussing how your personal politics and business don't always mix. Could this have a negative impact on your bottom line? It's Thursday, July 6, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But as always, we get started first with the weather. The temperature is currently 75 degrees at 12:06. Today, we could have some showers with overcast skies in the afternoon, a high of 76 degrees. Tonight, we're going to have periods of rain and some thunder in the area, a low of 66. For tomorrow, we'll have some residual showers in the morning and sunshine later in the day with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 67. For Saturday, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies with scattered thunderstorms in the morning, and it will be breezy throughout the day with a high of 87 and a low of 61. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 85 degrees and a low of 60. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 81.15 to 21,397.02. The NASDAQ is down 37.82 to 6113.03. S&P 500 is down 12.44 to 2420.10. Oil up $1.15 to $46.28 per barrel. And gold up $1.70 to $1,223.40 an ounce. Something sound a little different about the show today? Well, yes, I forgot the CD with my theme music in it for Taking Care of Business, so I do apologize for that. Trying to create a workaround, and hopefully I'll be able to get that settled after the next commercial break. But so glad you could join me this afternoon. Again, my name is Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. And at this point, if you're listening, you're either listening in your car on one of those new digital receivers that are coming out in a lot of vehicles at WHCRDB, or you're listening on your computer at www.hunterdonchamberradio.com. So if you have a browser opening and open and you're listening to the show, I invite you to also open a new tab and go to Facebook and like the page that we've created for this program. And it's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Like and follow that page. You'll get updates periodically on things that are happening in the area, in the state, or in business in general that may have an impact on you. So, again, the page is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Like and follow that page. We're trying to get as many of our listeners to jump onto that page so that, again, we can give you updates on the show. And it's a good forum for you guys to be able to talk to me and let me know the type of topics that you want to talk about. And then, of course, this time every week in the program, we start with what we call the business quote of the week. And this week it comes from Sam Walton. And I really like this because sometimes I think business owners forget who the boss really is. It's funny how many times when you're talking to people and they say they're the owner of a business or they own their own business, something like that. They forget who the boss really is. You know, and a lot of people will compliment them, say, "Oh, so you must be your own boss. How exciting." But there's only one boss, according to Sam Walton. Here's the quote. "There is only one boss, the customer, and he can fire everybody in the company from the chairman on down simply by spending his money somewhere else." Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. Do you believe that, or do you think you're invincible, impenetrable, or something like that, where it doesn't really matter? You know, if a customer gets pissed off at you, no big deal. There'll be more, you know. Or do you, and but conversely, I don't want you to fear the customer, the one who's threatening you to blast you on social media or something like that if something goes wrong. But there can be only one boss, and that one boss is the customer. I tell people in my shop all the time, you know, and people have come in and they'll say, "Oh, you know, it must be nice to be your own boss." I said, "You know, I'm not the boss. I got about 6,000 of them. They're called my customers." And, you know, we have to, on every order, get it right. On every order, you have to work with the customer, satisfy the customer, give them exactly what they want. And if not, give them more than what they want. And then, hopefully, they'll come back, or even better yet, as Earl Nightingale said, the best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. You want people out there talking about you, talking about your brand, talking about your business with their family, with their friends, and with their coworkers, maybe with their bosses, so that when they are excited and they say, man, I just went to XYZ company and they did everything they said they were going to do, and they got it done on time. It was perfect. I talked to a customer just before I came on the air, and we have to ship T-shirts out to Ohio for a college reunion. And so we have to get them made. She finally got us the sizes today. So we're getting – now it's crunch time. You know, it's Thursday of this week, and she would like them. The reunion is next Friday and Saturday. And she said, if you can get me the shirts Thursday to the hotel so that I can sort them out and get them in everybody's goodie bag, you'd be my hero. What do you think we're going to be doing this weekend? We're going to be making shirts and getting them done, and so that they're shipped out in time to get them to that hotel so that she can check one more thing off of her list. That's how we do it. That's how I've always done it. If this is a special request, we're going to make it happen. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of days on the Crown Trophy web board about UPS and how things that absolutely positively had to be there overnight didn't happen, you know. And so a lot of the store owners are complaining, oh, well, you know, UPS misplaced this package. You can bash anybody you want, UPS, FedEx, DHL. The fact of the matter is you didn't leave enough time to get the package where it needed to be. And when they looked at the when I looked at the timeline on the order, there was plenty of time to get it where it had to be, but you'd waited till the last minute, and then you were relying on an overnight company. Anything can happen. I get service alerts all the time from UPS and from FedEx. Sometimes there's a big storm that's going to ground planes for a couple of hours. That's going to delay getting it to the next point, you know, in the destination. You have to factor that in. So if it's due on the 12th, get it there on the 10th. Simple stuff. And again, as Sam Walton says, there's only one boss, and that's the customer. So how was your weekend? Big, long, four-day weekend for a lot of people. Heading down to the shore, heading up to the lakes, wherever you go. My vacations now are pretty much set in Pittstown, New Jersey. My son and his fiance bought a house, and so we're in the process of renovating it. Now, here's a word of caution. If you watch television shows like Fixer Upper, if you watch shows like First Time Flippers, and as you're sitting there on the couch and you're sitting there saying to yourself, we could do that. If you've never picked up a hammer, if you've never run electrical, if you've never used a power saw, please do yourself a favor, save your 10 fingers, and don't do it. So my son bought this house from two gentlemen, and they were renovating the house for about a year to a year and a half. And it was all studded out and framed, no sheetrock, no insulation. They had it all studded out. Some rough electric was in. If these two guys ever show up at Home Depot, I'm hoping that security will shut and lock the doors and not let them in. Somebody should confiscate all of their tools because they have absolutely no idea what they're doing. So here's where we're at. In the renovation, the original center line wall, the load-bearing wall, has remained. Everything else that they put in, we have now had to gut out because the framing was done so poorly, the construction techniques were so bad, that rather than trying to fix their mistakes, it was better to take it all out and start fresh and start new. So it's going to cost, you know, Brandon and Michelle a little bit more money, but oh my God, cannot believe what I'm seeing almost at every turn. You know, yesterday I looked at one wall, and, you know, so the bottom of a studded wall is called the sill plate. Now, ideally, that's one piece of a 2x4 that the joists then get nailed into. These guys had to do a wall that was maybe 7 or 8 feet long. So you figure an 8-foot 2x4, you're right there. Nah, use what you have. Use a 6-foot 6 2x4 and then slap another one on at the other end. But don't connect the two in any way. It's a nightmare. But we're getting through it, and it's getting done. But again, if you watch First Time Flippers or you watch Fixer Upper and you say, sure, I could do that. If you've never swung a hammer in your life, if you've never used a power tool in your life, and you're attracted by the allure of a quick flip and making easy money, don't do it. Because if you don't know construction, if you don't know certain construction techniques, you're either setting yourself up for a heartache, or you're going to find you could get injured, or you could end up losing money in the process. When we come back, we're going to talk about Governor Christie and how he could have been a hero, but chose to be a zero this weekend. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Again, so glad you can join me as we get together every Thursday at the noon o'clock hour to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small. Speaking of large issues, let's talk about Governor Christie for just a minute. Now, this past weekend, what a disaster here in the state of New Jersey. What an embarrassment in the state of New Jersey our governor was. And it's been picked up all over the country on every major news outlet out there. It's on New Jersey 101.5, on NBC, ABC, CNN. Everybody's got it, the story. So the governor and the assembly were supposed to adopt a budget. And that had to be completed by June 30th. Otherwise, you would go into what is known as a government shutdown, which means any state-run agency, any state-run park or anything like that would have to shut down for the day because conceivably there would be no money to pay for the employees that would run those either attractions or institutions. So there were three major issues holding up the budget battle. One, Governor Christie had some things that he wanted in the budget. Two, a couple of members of the assembly had certain things they wanted in the budget. And the third was that the assembly speaker wanted to keep his job. So who cares about number three? Whether you keep your job as assembly speaker doesn't matter. Here was the thing that was bothering me. At 11:15 at night on Friday night, they go to Brian Thompson on NBC News, and he's in the Senate chamber, the state Senate chamber. And all you see is a bunch of guys standing around with their arms folded, talking in little pockets. Nobody is sitting there working at ratifying a budget. They're just sitting around talking, which basically meant they were watching the clock until midnight when Cinderella's pumpkin would, you know, go away or the coach would turn back into a pumpkin and you'd have a government shutdown, at which point then things get a little heated and suddenly you start to work on making amends. So what happens? You have a picture, a plane flies over Island Beach State Park, which is a state-run park, and there's only one family on the beach, and it's Governor Christie and his family. And you've probably all seen the picture of him sitting in a lawn chair on this big empty beach all to himself. And there's a residence behind that that belongs to the state of New Jersey for the governor's use. So his response was simply, well, if you want to not be affected by the shutdown, then run for governor, become governor, and then you would have use of that house. So it begs the question, if the state shuts down the beach for everybody, Why is he entitled to go? He's still a resident of the state of New Jersey. I want to also point out, and hopefully you can look this up, go to @JerseyBikiniBoys, because they did a beautiful sand sculpture of Governor Christie staring up at the plane. A couple of those guys are friends of mine that I've known for several years, and they do this every weekend down at Seaside Park. They pick a theme, and then they create a sand sculpture. But think about the hero and the zero factor for just a minute. Now, thousands, if not millions of people were affected. You plan all year for your vacation. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to Seaside. We're going to go to Island Beach State Park. We're going to go to various beaches that may now be closed. And the governor doesn't care. He just sits on his lawn chair and doesn't care how he's affecting thousands, if not millions of people and their vacation plans. And I want to take this out of the governor's seat for just a minute. But think about the families that aren't as fortunate as he. Now, he's a millionaire. He's had a life of privilege, and he can do whatever he wants. He can take a vacation whenever he wants. But how many families are out there living paycheck to paycheck with, you know, hoping that they have enough money maybe to rent a house, hoping that they have enough money for a 1 or 2 day trip in a hotel down at the shore and a beautiful beach like Island Beach State Park? Imagine all those people that waited for a year in anticipation. Hey, our vacation's coming up. We're going to go to the beach. It's going to be a great time, only to find out it's closed. Think of the people who planned to go to Liberty State Park to watch the fireworks. Can't. It's closed. Had to move them upriver about 3 miles. The Clinton Police Department was affected by this because they had to go down to Trenton to drop off evidence to get it tested and then to pick up evidence. So they even took the step of calling the state police crime lab and said, are you open today? And this was on yesterday or Monday, I think it was. And they said, yes, we're open. So they drive down, two officers drive down to Trenton from Clinton with evidence to drop off and hoping to pick up evidence. And they're told, well, we're open, but we're not just open to pick up evidence or to drop off evidence. We can't accept anything. We can't give anything, but we're here to answer the phones. Is this the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your entire life? It is to me. So the fireworks are moved. People can't go to the beach. But Governor Christie and his family can sit there and have a great time on the beach. So the hero zero factor is this. Is it possible, is it conceivable that the assembly members, that the governor could have done an emergency stay and said, we're not going to hold to the deadline of June 30th. We're going to make the deadline July 5th or 6th. Let's make it July 6th, tomorrow, Friday night. So you would still potentially be ruining people's vacations, but you wouldn't take the biggest vacation away from people and let everything stay open. And if you said, well, we don't have the money to pay for it, in the new budget, you would have the money to pay for it. Fiscally responsible and smart and common sense responsible is what I'm looking for from government. Instead, we get the shutdown and we get, you know, the Island Beach State Park picture with Governor Christie sitting there with his family, basically flashing a big FU to the residents of New Jersey. So let's talk about his legacy for a minute. Now, on the pro side, they'll talk about budget issues and things. He has done some good things. But what is he going to be most remembered for in his candidacy as governor? Now, first of all, I want to give him credit. He actually made it, or will make it, 8 years as governor of the state of New Jersey, something that hasn't happened, I don't think, since Tom Kane was governor in the state of New Jersey. So he did have that tenure going for him. But his legacy is now going to be tied to Bridgegate, which you can't tell me he didn't know about. You know he knew. In Fort Lee, when the George Washington Bridge is clogged for 3 or 4 days, you can bet that information is getting up to the governor's office. I don't care who made what call and said, don't do this. He had the power to fix it. He did nothing. He had a terribly failed presidential run. Embarrassingly failed presidential run. And his political career, as far as national politics, you can assume is over at this point. He now has a 15% approval rating, worse than Donald Trump, but worse of all sitting governors. And one governor was just thrown. One governor just recently had to resign as a sex scandal and had a 60-point approval rating. Ours can't even get above 15%. He was named to be, and then replaced as, the head of the Trump transition team. How bad do you have to be when Donald Trump says, you're fired? It's an embarrassment to the state of New Jersey. It's an embarrassment to the governor's office. It is, the assembly should be just as ashamed of themselves for letting it get to there. Because, again, common sense didn't weigh in on this. If they had just said, let's make an emergency appropriation to keep all these parks open so that the Jersey City fireworks can still happen, all the parks and beaches remain open for the July 4th weekend, then we'll work on a budget, they would have been heroes. And I guarantee you, Christie's approval rating would have gone through the roof. Instead, they chose an alternate course, and it was an embarrassment. And I was getting texts and emails and Facebook posts from people all over the country over the weekend, like, what the heck is going on in your state? Couldn't tell you. Here's how, if I were governor, here's how I'd be solving budget crisis problems. Once we get to the point of midnight, Saturday morning, and we don't have a budget, and we declare a government shutdown, that's when I call in the New Jersey State Police. And we get all the assemblymen into the chamber, and we get the governor into the chamber, and we post armed New Jersey State Police officers with orders of shoot to kill if anybody tries to leave the room. There's no bathroom breaks. There's no food breaks. There's no water. And I guarantee you that by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a budget. And all of the special interests and all of the I have to have this and I have to have that in the budget will be forgotten, because they're going to have to pee so bad that, you know, there's nothing that can't be solved. There's nothing that common sense can't fix. But instead, we want to play games with the residents of the state of New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York who would have come in and visited on the July 4th weekend. Instead, Governor Christie wants to spend $300 million to renovate the State House in Trenton. A State House. A 200-some-odd-year-old building. And before all the preservationists, you know, come at me with the burning brooms and the pitchforks, hear me out on this. If a building is in need of $300 million of renovations, you really have to weigh the historical significance of that building. Or could you keep it, kind of preserve it, fix what needs to be fixed, and build a brand new one for $300 million across the street? Again, common sense just not clicking down there in Trenton these days. So, again, quite embarrassed by what happened this weekend. And now we have to look forward to November, and a lot of people are saying that Christie's actions this weekend really hurt Kim Guadagno's chances of being elected, because she's tied to Bridgegate, she's tied to everything that falls in the shadow, and it's a big shadow of Chris Christie, falls on her. She's going to have to answer questions about Bridgegate when we get into debates. She's going to have to answer questions about where was she when he was out all over the country eating corn dogs in Iowa. Where was she to step up and be the leader of the state? You didn't hear from her. And then finally, when all of this was happening, she should have distanced herself to California and said, I do not agree with the governor. I do not agree with the assembly. Fix this now. You don't hear from Kim Guadagno. So I think she's pretty much sealed her fate, that she will not get elected. And this is leaning more towards the Democrats. First polls out show Democrats now have an early lead because of this action over the past weekends. Sad state of affairs. And I've talked to a lot of people. Everybody was frustrated this weekend, and I get it. And trust me, if I were in Trenton, this would have had a whole different outcome, because nobody was leaving that night until a budget was resolved. So way to go, Governor. Great job. Thanks for ruining everybody's vacation. And can't wait for November when you're finally out the door. When we come back, we're going to talk about politics a little bit more and business and how they don't mix. After a recent posting from a friend of mine on Facebook, interesting take on this from someone who used to have a lot of opinions on politics. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I agree. I think it was Russia, but I think it was probably other people and or countries. And I see nothing wrong with that statement. Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows for sure.
President Trump answering a question about whether he believes Russia was behind an attempted hack of the U.S. presidential election, reiterating again, he says that no one can prove exactly who it was just yet. The president also said the U.S. stands firmly behind parts of the NATO agreement.
The United States has demonstrated, not merely with words, but with its actions, that we stand firmly behind Article 5, the mutual defense commitment.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' wife is being investigated by the FBI for fraud. Jane Sanders allegedly received a loan to purchase land for the expansion of a college in Vermont through fraudulent means. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
Yeah, we're back. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We get together every week at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. So, with that stated, a friend of mine posted the other day, I saw it on his thread on Facebook, that he was no longer, and this is a person that almost daily, would make political comments bashing President Trump. And he said that he is no longer going to post any of his political views on Facebook because he felt that it was affecting his business. And I guess I came to the dance a little late, but at the time that I looked at it, there were already about 87 comments on the thread. A lot of people saying that maybe they had owned a business. They had political views. One gentleman said that in his store he had either political posters or something like that that a lot of people would comment on and how uncomfortable it made them. So I know I did a story on this a few weeks ago, but politics and business don't always mix. And now here you have a gentleman whose business has suffered as a result. Other people in the thread all said the same thing. When they ran a business, anytime they had something political going on, whether they added something in a newsletter or something, they would feel some kind of a backlash as a result. But how about you? As a customer, do you ever go into a business and then you're confronted, maybe you see a Hillary poster, maybe you see an Obama poster, maybe you see a Trump poster, and do you say, I don't like this person or I'm uncomfortable here because of what you're seeing? Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. I tell my staff, and first, I keep it out of it as well, but I don't want to talk about politics in my business. If you want to talk about trophies, if you want to talk about apparel, you want to talk about signs, promotional items, varsity, I will talk to you about that all day long. But I'm not going to get into an argument with people about Donald Trump or about Hillary Clinton or about Obama or anybody else because I don't feel it has any business in my business. I have to be Switzerland, you know, and everybody has to feel welcome and warm and inviting. But I don't want people to come in and feel like they're on the defense because of their political party affiliation or something like that. Now, I think we can all agree that this weekend's fiasco with Governor Christie, I think pretty much just about everybody's unanimous that that was just stupid. But do you ever try to force your politics on people? I have another friend who does listen to this show, owns a very successful business, and is always out there every day, another post bashing Donald Trump. Agree or disagree with his viewpoint, I sit there and I go, is this page dedicated, and sometimes you have to be able to separate, is this personal or is it business? But is this page, can I separate the two? And very often I have a hard time doing that because it'll have his name, and then underneath that in like a subtext, it'll have his position and where he works. So even though it's a private, not a private, but a personal page, because he has his title and the company that he works for, I often sit there and say, is this how your company feels? Is this, you know, and sometimes it's, he gets so violent with people in the words that he chooses and uses. He's, you know, told people to do things anatomically to themselves that is physically impossible. But I sit there and I'm like, is this how you want to represent your business? And we've talked for 5 years on this program, 5.5 years, about the image of your business. And it's all related. Years ago, one of my employees, her children went to Hunterdon Central High School, and a woman came in from North Hunterdon High School. And the way my employee started the conversation, knowing that this woman was from North Hunterdon, said, oh, we're going to kick your ass tonight in football. And it was the big milk can game. And I couldn't wait for the customer to leave. And when she finally did, I asked my employee, I said, why did you do that? Oh, because, you know, Central Pride, we're going to win. I'm like, no, doesn't matter. You insulted and attacked. You put the customer on the defense the second she walks in the door. She was picking up $1,000 worth of awards, and you made her feel uncomfortable from in the first 5 seconds of her walking in the door. I can guarantee it's never happened again. It'll never happen again because we've actually used that as an example in our training program now. But why would you want to put somebody on the defensive so quickly? Why would you want to make them uncomfortable in your business and then ask them to spend money on your product or your business? People sometimes get a little nuts with their sports teams. Yankee fan, Jet fan, Giant fan, Philly fan, doesn't matter. You know, and even in your store, if you have a bunch of Yankees paraphernalia, you know, hanging up, or Giants paraphernalia, what if a Washington Redskin fan walks in? You know, all of a sudden he's like, I'm not welcome here. The Giants hate the Redskins. So sometimes you got to be Switzerland. Sometimes you got to just literally shut your mouth and take it. And other times you just have to, it's okay to have your political opinions, but when you are the face of your business and you're putting it out there, don't be surprised if a backlash does happen. And the way the media is treated, and I'm not picking on the media in any way, but the attention that politics is getting over the last 18 to 20 months in this country, you can bet that there is a topic every day to talk about. An example of which is, and because of my broadcasting background, I watch NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. So I am always interested in what is the first story. And that, to me, is going to be how the newscast is going to follow. And when I worked for an NBC affiliate down in West Virginia, it was the same thing. When we had our production meetings at 3:30 in the afternoon, what is our lead? And so we would have a discussion. Well, we have this story, we have that story, we have that story. And we have to pick which one is going to be our lead story of the day. And even that, you know, if something happened 10 minutes before airtime and we had to lead with breaking news, we would do it. For the last about 41 days in a row, the lead story on NBC Nightly News has always been about Donald Trump. That's important. He's the president of the United States. But it's always about silly stuff. This tweet, that tweet, what he said, things like that. Not about policy. And part of the problem is because Trump is doing this on a regular basis, all of the insiders in Washington are saying the same thing. Nobody's talking about healthcare in Washington. Nobody's talking about budgets. Nobody's talking about immigration. They're talking about the latest tweet. It is so diversionary that all of a sudden, nobody in Washington is getting any business done because they can't even talk about it. The microphones are being shoved in their faces. What do you think about Donald Trump's tweet today? So the point being, although there's a lot of fodder out there, when it comes to your business, let's everybody just take a break and you know, make sure that you know you are talking to the right person before you start, you know, bashing somebody political. Because you never know, the person on the other side of the counter could be somebody who supported that candidate. So again, politics and business don't always mix. Let's talk about six ways to break bad business habits. Now, there are some, as you're in business and you've been working in your business for a while, it's easy to create, and sometimes unintentionally, some bad habits. So what I want you to do is learn how to avoid these common small business pitfalls so you can work smarter and truly enjoy being your own boss. Now, as a small business owner, you're building a company from the ground up. Remember the first time you opened with $0 in sales, zero customers, and then look at where you're at today. There are a lot of competing priorities and pressures when running a business. And when you're caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle, it can be easy to fall into some very bad habits along the way. So we're going to explore six of those, the most traditional bad business habits, and reveal how to break them. So the first habit that many business owners complain about is they wear too many hats. In a recent survey, 35% of small business owners said they wish they could take on fewer roles and responsibilities. Numerous studies show that multitasking is harmful for a variety of reasons. It increases stress, it decreases productivity, and you're far more likely to make mistakes in your work. But many entrepreneurs find themselves trapped wearing too many hats. So how do you break that? Delegation is the key. But having someone to delegate to is also the first step. So building a strong team, and this is where I rely on cross-training a lot, that you trust allows you to feel more comfortable placing responsibilities in their capable hands. So take your time during the hiring process. Reach out to reliable contacts in your industry to widen your net, and then consider not only work history, but also disposition and personality when interviewing. The second habit is getting hung up on old ideas. Now, you probably dreamed about your company for a long time before you actually opened for business, and that means you have a strong vision of what you want it to be. And while it's important to have vision, you want to try to stick to a plan for achieving that vision, even when the plan has proven itself outdated or flawed, and that will cause big issues down the line. How do you break it? Well, in order to change course, you have to be willing to let go of what was once a brilliant idea, especially after it's flamed out. Dr. Alex Lickerman notes in Psychology Today that we tend to form biases towards our own ideas and opinions. Releasing those biases allows us the latitude to regroup and re-strategize as our company changes and grows. A lot of times what I do is I always say, let's look at from the outside in. When you're in the heat of the battle, when you're in the moment, a lot of times you get so wrapped up, so emotional that you can't see the forest for the trees. So I tell everybody, take yourself out of it and look from the bleachers in. And would you have the same viewpoint as the person who's in the arena at that moment? So a lot of times when you look at it objectively, it's easier to let go. The third habit is overpromising. And many small business owners have the urge to say yes to every request. However, agreeing to something that costs that your company's infrastructure or team can't support ends up creating more ill will than just saying no in the first place. How do you break this one? Well, first you have to know your limits and stick to them. So take time to consider the request. But if it's really something that you can't do, then offer a firm and simple no. Don't go into details and that invites the requester to push the issue and try to decline in person or over the phone, since the tone of an email can sometimes be misconstrued. The fourth habit, not taking risks. The flip side of overpromising is not taking enough risks. Whether it's fear of rejection, embarrassment, or financial failure, some small business owners lose their nerve just as their company is on the brink of a big breakthrough. Therefore, they become their own worst enemy. How do you break this bad habit? Well, the first step to overcoming the fear of failure is acknowledging first that it even exists. Speak to trusted colleagues, friends, or family about your fears and get their take. Maybe they will give you the confidence that you need. Maybe they'll enforce for you that you're already doing it. Turn your attention to tangibles. Focus on the things that are within your control, like redesigning your website or creating a new organizational tool for your merchandise. The fifth habit, and this is real bad for a lot of people, is micromanaging. Your business is like your baby, and you want to do everything possible to make sure that it succeeds. But micromanaging your employees is a guaranteed way to breed disengagement and resentment amongst your staff. How do you break that? The urge to micromanage frequently springs from your own fear of failure or feelings of powerlessness. Facing those fears, meaning like not taking risks, will allow you to let go of those control freak tendencies. Also, strive to create a workplace culture of open communication. If your employees feel comfortable speaking to you when an issue arises, you'll be at ease granting them more freedom. And finally, the sixth habit, and one that I think is getting more and more attention lately, particularly after Arianna Huffington was talking about sleep, not taking care of yourself. With only 24 hours in the day, many small business owners aim to dedicate as many of those hours as possible to their business. Sleep, healthy eating, exercise, and vacation time are deprioritized or forsaken altogether. Not only is this dangerous for your physical and mental health, it can also take a toll on the health of your company. How do you break that? The normative social influence, a force defined in social psychology, drives us to conform to a social standard or preconceived notion of our role. And since the entrepreneurial role is seen as someone who works day and night, that's what entrepreneurs feel pressured to do. Letting go of this pressure frees you up to achieve a healthy work-life balance and to work with more focus and efficiency during the hours you do dedicate to your business. Running your own business can be challenging, but can also be one of the most rewarding endeavors you ever pursue. So when you know how to avoid these common pitfalls, you're able to work smarter and truly enjoy being your own boss. So hopefully, some of those tips will help you. And hopefully when you hear these stories, you start thinking, he's talking about me, and you can implement change very quickly. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'll be back right after this break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. You lucky dog, you. I found a couple of memes over the weekend with regards to Chris Christie's closing of Island Beach State Park. And the best one, I think, that I saw, and I took the picture, I posted it on Facebook and LinkedIn, was a throwback to the old Footprints poem. And I just want to read you the end of it because this is what got everybody chuckling. He said, as he continued to walk, he noticed that during the hardest parts of his life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. He asked Jesus why, and Jesus said, those are Chris Christie's. He kicked everyone else off the beach. Love that. It was they were so creative between that and Dave Bobel's sculpture with the Jersey Bikini Boys down at Seaside Park. I think Governor Christie, if he even cares, got that message loud and clear. Want to close the show today with some tips. I talk to businesses a lot, and I have a lot of customers and clients that will seek marketing help from me. And we had Tom Marguccio and Russ Zabrowski in the studio a couple of years ago talking about how to promote your business. And sometimes the biggest stumbling block was putting a pen to paper and writing a press release. And we kind of covered it during that show, and we've talked about it since, but what are you looking to get out in a press release? And so many business owners tell me, I don't know how. And you could probably Google the term how to write a press release and come up with 1,000 different replies. But so I want to talk to you a little bit about how to write a press release. First of all, you have to have something to talk about. So let's say your business is going to have a big sale, or you're introducing a new product line, or you've reopened after a renovation or something, but you want to get the word out to people that there's something new and exciting going on in your business. So the pickup, the coverage, the exposure, the impressions, featured all terms that mean you're getting your name in the news. They don't wait for a journalist to call you up asking for an interview about the exciting things going on at your business. The purpose of a press release is for you to get your story in the newspaper or on websites or on local radio or TV. So I've kind of come up with this guide to get you started in writing releases that get press. First of all, as with anything, and you probably learned this in third grade, the five W's and the H, okay? Who, what, where, when, why, and how. If you answer those questions, you'll basically have a press release. So obviously, just like the New York Times says, all the news that's fit to print, there is no guarantee that your press release will get coverage. But there are some rules of thumb to improve your chances. One purpose of the press release is to make it easy for a journalist to get all the facts and resources they need to write a story. If you create the story for them with all the elements of good journalism, good grammar, etc., chances are greatly increased that it will be used by a reporter or an editor. If your release is not newsworthy, it will not get picked up, and you may lose your credibility. So let's talk about what makes a story newsworthy. First of all, is it timely? Is it trending? Is it local? Is it inspiring? Sometimes, is there a celebrity connection, or is it tied to an upcoming event? So what you're finding now in newsrooms across America, and there have been many slashes, you can write a press release and write it so well, grammatically correct, you know, and again, if you do the who, what, where, when, why, if it flows, if it's not jumping all over the place, you know, but it kind of flows and tells a story, you'll find that a lot of newspapers will print it as is. Always obviously leave your contact information in case they have any questions or follow-up. Invite them to come to an event. Invite them to bring a photographer to the event or to do a live remote. You want a good headline to get it started. Now, a great headline gets you to read a story. And the same rule applies to journalists. If you can capture their attention with a compelling headline, they're more inclined to read your press release. Include a subheadline below that's a little longer and gives a little bit more detailed information about what will be in the release. Before all that, you want to write for immediate release, and that has to be at the very top of the page above the headline. This lets them know if you like this story, you can either call us to discuss it now or, you know, print as is. The opening lines, your opening paragraph should include your location, city, state, and the date of the release. This is called the dateline, and it is in bold at the beginning of your first paragraph, and then launch into a very concise lead paragraph. Again, the who, what, where, and why. Don't bury the lead. Put the most relevant information first. Tell them straight away why this information is important and newsworthy. Think about books you've read. How many times have you picked up a book? The cover looks great. The title looks great. You've heard some people talking about it. You read the first chapter and you're like, God, I can't picture myself doing another 365 pages of this. And it gets put off on the corner of your nightstand. Same thing with a news release. You have to hit them early. You want to kind of BuzzFeed the body. The popular website BuzzFeed is known for its listicles, bite-sized lists that are easy and to read and even easier to understand. And you can do the same thing with the body of your press release. So break your story into short, scannable chunks using bolding paragraph headlines, bullet points, or infographics. Back up your headlines and introduction with a deeper dive into the facts. You can cite data and include a quote and then support it with facts. Also, include a quote from the owner of the business, a satisfied customer, or the person most relevant to the story. For example, if your release is about a fundraiser that your company held for a deserving patron, get quotes from the owner saying why they wanted to help and a quote from the beneficiary about what the donation means to them. The journalist may need more details and want to follow up to conduct their own interviews, so include contact information for everyone quoted in the press release. Boilerplates. A boilerplate is an industry term for a concise section that gives the basics about your business, including information such as your mission, who you serve, and how long you've been around. This is a great place to include links back to your website. Three hash marks centered on the page at the end of the press release are called an octothorpe, and that's how your release should end. It lets reporters know they're not missing anything. Just above the hash marks include contact information should the journalist have any questions. If you're listing yourself as the contact, make sure you'll be available. Give them a cell phone number. Your story may get trashed if they call for a quote and you're out of the office for a week. And let's talk about style for a minute. Along with making sure that your writing is grammatically correct and properly spelled, pay attention to the nuances of language required by editors. For instance, abbreviating the month when using a date. Most journalists adhere to the Associated Press style book or a similar style guide. And you can sign up for an online subscription to the AP style book or borrow a copy from your public library's reference section. Well, let's talk about the pitch. Getting your story into the right hands with a personalized pitch. This is your paragraph-long email to a reporter or editor to persuade them to read your press release. Be bold, but avoid bolding all of them in caps in your statements and get right to the point. Do some research to find out exactly who at your local newspaper, trade journal, or neighborhood website is best suited to cover your story. For instance, is the reporter who usually covers all business news or small business news, or one who specializes just in your particular industry? Journalists are pitched story ideas 100 times per day, so you won't get far by talking to the wrong person. Keep your press release to one page if possible. If your story is intriguing, the journalist will reach out to you for more information or additional quotes and may even request a photo. Be prepared to provide these at a moment's notice to accommodate any deadlines the publication may have. So here's a good checklist when creating a press release. Get your pen and paper handy. You want to make sure that you include the term for immediate release at the beginning. You want to start with a compelling headline and explanatory subhead. You want to include your dateline. The lead paragraph should include the who, what, where, and why, and if necessary, the when. You need to get some quotes from those who know about what's going on, and include your boilerplate information, information about your business or organization, and then obviously the contact information and the Octothorpes, letting them know there's nothing else to read here. This is the end of the story. another thing about press releases is you can write the greatest press release in the world, but if you don't know who to send it to, why? So as you're preparing a press release, so let's say you have a new product launch coming up. You may want to have the manufacturer be included in this press release for a quote. Why did they pick you as a distributor? But you also want to know who to send it to. So a lot of times, that's when the research arm comes in. You have to look up the local newspapers, trade journals, magazines, anybody that you think will run this story, and even those that you think will never run the story because you just don't know, you want to include in that list. So we're going to need to create basically a Rolodex. Young people, millennials, look it up, Rolodex. And find out who to send it to. Who's the business editor at the newspaper? It's okay to send it also to the main editor, but they may say in the future, please submit these stories to our business editor. Radio stations. Who's running the news desk? Eric Scott, for instance, at New Jersey 101.5 would be a great person to contact. We've all probably heard of him, so now you know how to do it. Find their mailing address so you address it the proper way, get email addresses wherever you can, and create, again, that Rolodex so that you can, as more newsworthy events come up, you can include them in your press release. And hopefully you get some coverage and it helps your business grow. Again, not a bad idea to Google how to write a good press release and just get, not, don't just take my word for it, but take a couple of experts' takes on how to do good press releases. And hopefully, like I said, you get good coverage that can help, particularly when you're trying to promote an event, a grand opening, a reopening, or something like that. In sports, in Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Brewers, and Dodgers lead theirs. In NASCAR, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won last weekend's Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway for his second career and season win. This week, the teams will head to Kentucky for the Quaker State 400, Saturday night under the lights at 7:30 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
A strong, shallow earthquake rattles most of Montana. This man who owns the Three Bears Motel in Lincoln, right near the quake's epicenter, says he served